Good morning and welcome to another day here on planet Earth. I am your Merry Gardener and this is the Solo Gardener podcast. And this is episode 4 and we're going to be talking about hiring help. This is basically my experience. I'm back to solo, but at one time I did get up to 4 people. And I wanted to tell you about my experience with that. And where I'm at with it now. Do I want to grow? Am I happy being a solo gardener? What are my thoughts and feelings about going into that? And we're going to start with why and when did I start employing help and what that kind of journey was, because it wasn't necessarily I kind of did it out of necessity, because at the time I was quite happily going at it on my own, and I had an accident basically which forced me to get help in. So I broke my collarbone. So this is my bone up here, and it's misshapen. I don't know if I can show you. See that little bump there? You can't see it obviously if you're on Spotify, but if you're on YouTube you can see that bump. That is where I broke my collarbone. And I was being very stupid, doing boyish things. And I was with my son. I think my son was probably about 5 or 6 at the time. I was with a couple of friends and we were going on a bike ride. And we was in a place called Saltdean. And there is like a mini golf kind of hill, basically. And it's disused, so all the bunkers are just grass. It's like these big bumps, and I just thought, hey, that looked really cool. I'm going to go over there, and I literally rode up the hill, and I came down thinking I'm going to go over the bunker and do like a really cool jump in front of my friend, totally showing off. But the problem was, I've never actually done that before. And what happened is I went up the bunker, I flew into the air, and as I was coming down, I kept spinning round and round and round. I ended up landing on my shoulder, snap, and just landed flat on my back, and I'd broken my collarbone. It was I'd winded myself, so it was very painful. At first I didn't realize the pain because I was winded. I was just struggling to breathe, and then as soon as I caught my breath, I noticed the pain. And so to cut a long story short, I had to go to hospital. They said they weren't going to operate because it hadn't broken the skin. It had broken the bone, but it hadn't protruded the skin. So they said they won't operate. That will just set as a deformed bone and then fuse back together. I think they x-rayed it, so it's close enough for it to kind of then just fuse. So they put me in a sling and they basically sent me home. But I had a dilemma. I couldn't work, but I needed money, obviously. So I just moved my keys. Didn't realise I had them there. I needed to work because I needed to pay rent and all that shizazzles. I was living in Hove at the time, near Brighton. I had a whole bunch of customers that needed doing. I put an advert in the paper to hire someone. There is a gap there. Sorry. Before I did that, I had my cousin's husband came and helped me for a couple of weeks. He didn't like it too much. And after a couple of weeks, he was gone doing his own thing. I think he had other stuff. He had his own stuff doing. But he helped me out for a couple of weeks, got me out of a little bit of trouble. And then after 2 weeks, I still couldn't drive. So I needed a driver. I needed a worker. I put an ad in the paper. And this experienced gardener called Paolo, or his actually girlfriend, called me, and she said, my boyfriend, he doesn't speak great English. No, she didn't even say that. I think she said his English wasn't that great, and we can meet him just outside my place. And I was like, yes, sounds great. There was no one else. There was no one else answering this ad, basically. And he was experienced. She explained it to me. He's come from it. He was struggling to get work. I said, yes, let's do this. And we met outside. I met her. She introduced me to Paolo, and then he's there, and then it was like, yeah, let's go to work. And we struggled through communication because he didn't speak barely a word of English. It was like point, but the saving grace is he knew how to garden. So I could literally just point, do, do, do. And after, he worked for me for a few seasons, and by the end of it, his English was good. So Oh my God, he got me out of a tricky situation. It might have even been one season. I swear it was two or something, but he was older than me. And but he knew how to do to garden. So you know what? Without that, I think I would have really struggled. But yeah, it wasn't long before we were working. I was working back myself, like a few months or so. And I was working with like one arm with in a sling, and he was helping. But it was a tough time because I couldn't really charge myself out like I would normally. And then, but once I'd gone down that road of experience of having someone help, I kind of liked that. And then once Paolo left, I then found Sam. And I think once you've got into like a duo, a two, I personally think that's such a perfect scenario. It's such a perfect scenario for a gardener to have a helper, someone to hold the ladder, someone to help clear up. It really takes all the pressure off, especially if you're feeling like, you know, you've been at it on your own for a long, long time. To have someone there to help you, it's so even down to the mentality, helps with your mental health. You've got some camaraderie, you've got some band, especially you've got someone you like, and you kind of bounce off each other. And if someone's got a little bit more experience in some areas, they can help. And if you've got just a young lad who can just graft, and that's what Sam was. He was such a grafter, and I really, really appreciated that. And then Sam responded really well to incentives. I think I've mentioned this before. And I would give Sam a job, or we'd have like sets of jobs, and I could leave him on a job and say, look, he got to the point, he was completely competent, knew what he was doing. I could say, right, Sam, you finish this job. It's worth this much. If you get it done in a certain amount of time, I could literally almost doubled his pay. And I knew that he would go really hard at it, but do a really good job at the same time. So I would benefit and he would benefit. It was like a win-win situation. And so then I went from me and Sam. And then I thought, you know what, why can't I go up to, I didn't want to go to three. I think I wanted to go straight to four, because to me, three was a little bit kind of awkward, because two in a garden kind of works. I know my dad does three in a garden. I just thought two, and I just thought I'd get another van and then have two in that van and two in this van, because I'd kind of like the way two worked. So two and two. So I went straight from me and Sam to then I went to looking for another two people, and I got another van basically. And I needed a driver. That's one thing, it's not always easy to find someone who is able to drive. I had a lot of young people that wanted to work with me, but I needed a driver. So I found a lad called Daniel, which I've talked about. We called him Plant Boy. And then we teamed him up. I think I put Sam and Dan together because they worked quite well together. They were kind of they were similar age. So Daniel had experience in plants. Sam was a grafter and he knew how to work the tools. So he was fine with that. And he was still learning. And I think Daniel helped him up, like learning. And then I had another Italian. I tell you what, the Italians, oh my God, I've had like three or four Italians work for me. They are grafters. I want to big up the Italians because they work their little butts off. If Italian ever wants to work for you and you're interviewing one, I don't know. Just generally, I've had at least three of them. They do work. I wanted to step away. I was kind of exploring what it was like. And I had this idea in my head. What if I had two vans and I wasn't working in any of them? So I had four employees plus me, just driving through town doing quotes. So I quite liked that. I liked the fact that that money was coming in, and I didn't even put a good, I put a shift in terms of finding the work, but it was nowhere near as hard as say gardening. And not that I like gardening. So there was that kind of side of it. I did miss that side of it, but it was like, I kind of dived into it. And I think that's my biggest mistake. This is why I went back to solo gardening, because my experience in employing people is zero. And I kind of dived into it. I think I liked the two man scenario. And I think if I ever went back to it, it would just stick to the two man. I'm not that fussed about growing beyond that. But I really did enjoy that experience. It was very difficult to manage people. I found that everyone's different. So you've got to manage everyone slightly differently, which I found quite challenging. There were scenarios where, say, a job wouldn't be finished because there were problems within the job, and the lads didn't have that problem-solve mentality, which I was trying to instill into them. So I would get to like a there'll be a conifer hedge that we'll be doing, and then I would get to the job, and Daniel would say to me, "Well, we haven't done the back of the hedge because we couldn't reach it and we didn't have long reach." And I was like, "Okay, so why didn't you go and knock on the neighbour's door and then go round? Or why didn't you go into the hedge and then go straight up?" I mean, these things you can problem solve. The client is paying for a job to be finished, but you haven't finished the job. How can I go and ask that client for money when you haven't finished the job? And they're like, "Oh, I'm sorry, we couldn't do it." And then they put the blame on me to say, like, "Oh, I didn't supply us with a hedge cutter." I'm like, "No one told me." Do you know what I mean? If you come and said to me, "Look, we're struggling to finish this job," and it's just, it was kind of like a bit of, it felt like a bit combative. It wasn't like, "How do we solve this problem? I'm struggling. Let's call Pete." Do you know what I mean? And see if he knows, because he's got any ideas. It was just like, "Oh, didn't supply us at all, so I'm not going to do it." And it didn't go. I think it was more kind of one of the side that I think there was some animosity coming from maybe Daniel, because I don't know. It was weird. It was a clash maybe. And I think Daniel had some mental issues as well. So it was difficult dealing with that as well. He had a couple of days off due to mental health. In such a small team, how do you deal with someone who's having those problems? You try and give them some leeway, some days off. But ultimately, what ended up happening is we got to winter, and I hadn't properly solved the winter problem solution. The winter problem. So I had just a massive drop on work, and then to try and find work for four people plus myself and feed everyone, it was really difficult. And what ended up happening, I lost the best guys. So the best guys were the ones who worked hardest, but also the ones, ironically, that if there is a dip in work and they're not working, they're the one who's got the incentive to go out and just get a new job, and they're not going to stick around. So I was left with like some really bad workers because they couldn't be bothered to go and find jobs, and all the good ones had gone. And I was like, "Oh shit, man, what do I do?" So it was the kind of those scenarios, ups and downs, that I was moving towns. It was just like a nightmare. We had a little one, and the missus wanted to move up to Sevenoaks to be near her mum. So I had to, I've moved up there, kept the two guys that we had left. We had two left. And kept that going for a while, but it was very hard trying to manage a job while they were, while I was up there. So it's an hour drive, and if one of them was sick, I had to drive down and then team up with the other guy to get the job done. And I'm trying to build business up here as well. It was just a nightmare. So what I ended up doing, I ended up having it was too much. I just stopped it, and I thought, you know what, I'm just going to focus up here. The gardens were bigger, the opportunities, I just couldn't split myself between the two places. I think if you're going to run a business, you have to be there, you have to be local. You can't run a business when you're like an hour away. And I think just that scenario messed it up. So my experience with that then led me to go, right, I'm going back to being solo. Occasionally I had a few people here work for me up here. Just, I think that was more trying to help them out than help me out. But I was quite happy working on my own because the stress was so low. But then there is problems with solo gardening. Like, I never really had to motivate myself when I had people working for me. God, I've just dropped the microphone. Yes, so I feel like I didn't have to motivate myself when I had people with me, because I felt like I had to be the one to motivate them. Do you know what I mean? I felt like that position. Whereas when you're on your own, you've kind of got to boss yourself, which is quite a weird scenario. And I don't know. I felt it's weird. It's like being in that kind of role. You kind of take on the kind of dad scenario, you're the one kind of pushing everyone. It kind of just fell naturally into place. Whereas when you're on your own, oh God, it's weird. It's weird. I can't even describe it. But bossing yourself is way more difficult than bossing someone else. Not that I'm a bossy person, but you know, you got things to, things have got to be done. So you just kind of fall into that role. You got all these people, all these moving parts. You just kind of got to keep it all together. And I guess that's the challenging part when you're a solo gardener, is trying to do that to yourself. Get yourself out of bed when it's raining. Do you know what I mean? Whereas, yeah, it's a strange one. It's a strange one. That is a challenge. My main thing today is I don't want to discourage anyone. I really think you should definitely go and try out, start with employing one person. And just have that little change, that little shift. It does change everything for you, for the positive, I think. Going beyond that, I think I'd love to interview someone who has gone beyond two and then grown, because there's a missing link for me. I don't know what I did wrong. There's definitely some kind of learning curve. I think the fact that I moved towns kind of scup, I could have kind of delved deeper into that and kind of perfected it almost, but because I was moving towns, I had to start all over again anyway. So I thought, well, I'll just go back to me, because I wasn't in a position to then, I couldn't move a whole crew to a new town. It's just not possible. So it was just way more simpler just to move back to me and then start back up. But I'd love to, yeah, I would love to know if there's anyone out there who has actually grown a crew of like a couple of like vehicles or beyond that. I'd really like to know what they did. What hurdles did they overcome? Were they similar to my experience? Is there something that I've missed? Is there something that maybe I needed more funding? Maybe I could have got a loan from the bank. Those types of things I haven't explored, but I'd love to know what that route, what that kind of journey was for them. Yeah, because I haven't got a business background. I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued. I really want to know. And are you any gardeners out there? Are you solo gardeners? Are you thinking about employing someone? Are you, have you employed people like me and then gone back to solo? Did you find it relatively stressful? I don't know. I'd love to know people's experience with that. I'm not on here to say that I'm some expert and I know exactly what I'm kind of just like, this is my journey. This is kind of what I've done. I'm just being honest. In theory, this should be called the Honest Garden Podcast. I don't know. But the solo gardener, I feel a lot of the time my life has been dealing with shit on my own, solving problems. And this is where I'm at, mate. I've gotten a lot of crap on some of the forums lately, you know, and I just, people accusing me of like, I wouldn't listen to him because of this and that. And I'm like, well, I'm just a human with a human experience. And it's not like a perfect journey. Life isn't a perfect journey, buddy. Life is kind of shit sometimes, and you fall on your ass and you get back up. That's kind of where I'm at. I've fallen off on my ass many times, but I'm going to stand up one more time than I fall down, and that's all that matters. How many times are you going to fall down? If you fall down 8 times, just get up 9, and then you're doing okay. So, just to summarise, I personally think employing people is a positive thing. It can only improve, especially if you want to keep it low-key. You want to keep it just two, a duo. It's a really nice number for a garden. It's always good to have someone, from a safety point of view, like I said, holding ladders and stuff like that, helping clear up, especially if you're getting on a bit and you think, maybe I've got a bit of a sore back. You can get someone to do all the jobs you don't like, which you don't really need to feel guilty about it. You've done all those jobs for years. So, and it also, it helps you realise how much you know and realise how far you've come, because there's someone there who hasn't got a clue, and potentially, and you're training them, you're improving their lives. And you could be like a little mentor. It's a really good mentor job for someone young to look up to. It improves your mental health, because it makes you realize, you know, how far you've come in life in general. There's so many positives. So I know this is a solo gardener podcast. I love all solo gardeners. I like being a solo gardener right now, but I want to encourage you to progress and try different things. because it's all positive. You can find positives from both. Guys, we have come to an end now. I have waffled on for far too long. I want you to have a wonderful wonderful week, because obviously you're listening to this on Monday. It has been raining throughout the weekend and to the end of this week. It is a pain in the ass. Keep pushing through, people. Put your multiple layers on. Get your waterproofs on and get your asses out there, because a lot of the time it will rain for half a day and then you'll dry for the next. So don't call off those jobs too soon. I love you and leave you. And also, one last thing. If you don't look after your customers, someone else will. Take care. Bye.